to be back to worship God together again. And again, I want to especially welcome all of who are visiting with us. We have several folks with us today visiting, and we're glad that you're here with us. Hope that you'll stay around and let us get a chance to meet you afterward. We've been doing a series of lessons on answering this question, what is truth? Before we get into our lesson this morning, let me tell you about a few things that are happening. This evening, being our second Sunday, we have our second Sunday Bible study over at Chuck's house. We're going to be doing Bible study, and then after that, have a time of fellowship. So keep that in mind. Everybody is invited to come. We're going to be have an opportunity to do some discussion based on the lesson that we're doing this morning. So that's our second Sunday Bible study time. If you would like to go to that, if you've never been to Chuck's house, see him, and he will be glad to tell you how to get to his house. So that will be at 5 o'clock this evening. Now, this coming weekend, Saturday, we have our senior luncheon. Our teens are going to be hosting a luncheon for all who are seniors. Okay, so we need for you, if you plan to attend that, we need for you to sign up on the sheet on the table out of the back. Is it on the table or on the bulletin board back there? On the bulletin board back there is a sheet. They need to know how much food to fix and all those kind of things, so please do that. And we are not really qualifying who's a senior or who's not. If you are, if you're old enough that you can't remember, now I'm just teasing you. It is for those who are seniors. Just come out and enjoy that time and the interaction with our teens, our young people. All right, that will be again Saturday, July the 15th. Sign up on the bulletin board now. Next Sunday, being our third Sunday of the month, we have our family movie time, and Brian will be showing the movie The Shack. That will be 5 o'clock right here in this auditorium. So really, if you have not had opportunity to see this movie, I really want to encourage you to come and see it. This is one of the best spiritual biblical movies that's out there. It is a really, really great show. I really encourage you to come. Plan to be here for that next week. Doesn't cost you anything, and we'll even have free popcorn. So just come out, and this is really a great, great movie. If you want to have some kind of an idea and concept of the Trinity, the Godhead, and how they kind of all work together, this is a really, really great movie. So, again, I can't say enough good things about it. Encourage you to come to that. Now, we're talking about the truth. We've been asking this question, what is truth? And through this series of lessons we've been doing, we talked about different studies. We were talking about looking at people avoiding the truth and not wanting to look at the truth. We talked about true disciples and what does a true disciple look like. We've also talked about true worship. When we come together to worship God, what does true worship look like? And this whole idea that as we gather together on the first day of the week, that's what we're coming together for, is to worship God and what that really is all about. We talked about last week the world and truth. The world has a whole different truth and concept of what truth really is than what God's people do. We talked about how all that, what we need to be doing with that. Today, we're going to finish this series of lessons on answering that question, what is truth, by talking about this topic, handling the truth. Okay? We have the truth. We're going to talk about what we need to do with it. Okay? And that's what this is really all about. It's something that you and I have as God's children that the world denies and the world doesn't have. What do we need to be doing with that truth? Jesus said in John 17, verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. And that's what you and I have, God's truth. All we have to do is pick up our Bible and open it and study it, read it, get to know it, and we know the truth because God gave us his truth in his word. In fact, his word is the truth. The question then becomes for us today, what do we do with this truth? God has given it to us. He didn't just give it to us for our entertainment. He gave it to us for a particular purpose and reason. What are we supposed to do with it? The answer is this. We need to tell. Whoa, we went too far there. We need to tell the truth. Okay, now, this is not tell the truth as opposed to telling lies. This is, we need to be out telling people the truth. We sharing it with other people. In other words, the truth only has a certain amount of effectiveness if we keep it to ourselves. All right? And that's not what God intended for us to do. He gave it to us so that we could know it and understand it, but then also so that we would be able to tell it to other people. All right? So we need to be telling the truth. Now, in the text that we started out with this morning, that Willie read for us, and I don't know if you noticed or not, but it's a little bit weird kind of reading on there that you have in your handout of the bulletin, all right? I want you just to consider three different translations of that text in 2 Timothy, all right? The King James translation basically says it this way: study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Okay? The New International Version says it this way: do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. Some other translations. One translation in particular says, be diligent. Okay, some of you have that. The Greek is the original language, the literal translation. That's what you have on in your study notes on the back of that. It was read. Again, it sounds kind of weird because when you're looking at the Greek language, they don't have the punctuation the way that we do and so forth. So it reads a little bit weird, but it literally says this: be eager thyself approved to present to God, a workman unashamed, and I like this particular part of it, cutting straight the word of truth. All right? So, let's talk about this passage and what we are to be doing with the word of truth. How many of you have ever heard the term be an eager beaver? Anybody familiar with that? Okay, some of you are. Okay? Where did that term come from and what does it mean? Well, you look up in the dictionary, here's what I found. A beaver is a small animal which people traditionally believe to be hardworking. Okay? So they associate that with someone who works very hard and is very eager to do things. So in the original language, okay, Paul here writes and uses that word, eager. Be eager, he says. Alright, so we need to then be like that eager beaver. Someone who is working very hard, someone who is just pressing on and making things happen. That's what it means to be eager. And that's what Paul calls upon you and I to do as we handle the Word of God. We need to be like that eager beaver. Alright, someone who is actually doing something, not just sitting around waiting for things to happen. Because beavers don't sit around and make things happen or wait for things to happen, do they, Jerry? Jerry's had some beavers over in his pond. They are hard to kill. I've shot at them several times. And I still haven't killed one. They're fast, but they are workers. It doesn't take long for them to, you know, knock down a few trees and claw things up, do they, Jerry? And it's because they work hard. They work diligently at whatever it is that they have set about to do. And so Paul here, in a sense, is calling upon you and I as God's people to be like those beavers. Be eager. Okay? Be eager with God's word in sharing that with other people. Again, notice these statements, these words that are used in the different translations. Study to show thyself approved. Okay? Make every effort, the translation says. Alright? And be eager. Those are the ideas or the concepts that call upon us to be doing something with God's Word. But not just passively, but rather aggressively. That's the idea here. Alright? We need to be studying God's Word. You put all these ideas together, we need to be studying. Because that's the only way we're going to learn God's Word is if we study. And we need to make every effort to do so. You say, make every effort that you can to study God's Word. All right? And be eager to do so. when you see that happening, when that's happening, then you will have the proper attitude towards God's word and the work that he has given us to do. You see, all of these kinds of ideas, these concepts, study and make every effort, be eager, that's really what they're talking about, is attitude, aren't they? So it's a question or an issue really of thinking about what is your attitude toward God's word? Why is that so important? Because attitude is everything. Okay? You can have all the proper tools and the proper equipment, but if you don't have the right attitude, you're not going to get anything done with it. Okay? So attitude is important in getting the work done that God has called us to do. It's kind of like a child. You'll watch a child and they're working on something, they bring something home from school they've worked on, or maybe they've got a little craft that they're working on. You notice how eager they are to share that with you, to show you what they've been doing, what they've been working on. I have five sisters and I have one brother, two sisters older, all the rest are younger. My young brother, when he was just a little kid, he was really, really creative. He used to take the little styrofoam trays that you get meat on, okay, from the grocery store. All right? My mom would wash those off for him, and he would take those to his bedroom, and he'd be back there just quiet as could be, working for the longest time, and he would come out, and he's taking that thing and cut it all up and glued it together, and he'd make all kinds of things with it. Okay? And he'd come out, and he'd just be proud, just beaming, wanted to share and show what he had done. That's what children do. See? They're eager to share what they have with others. Now, folks, I kind of think that's the attitude that Jesus was referring to when he said, "Yes, I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom." You see, it's about the attitude. And we need to have that childlike attitude where we are eager to share what we have with those around us, just like children do. And what we have is the truth of God's word. And we need to be eager to share that word with everyone that we can. All right? The second thing that he talks about in this is this idea of being unashamed. Okay? But there's another word here that is associated with this being unashamed, and that is a worker. Okay? Now, those two have to go together. Unashamed, a worker, he says. Alright? Here's the thing we need to keep in mind about that. There are no non-participating memberships in Christianity. Okay? You understand what I mean by that? People oftentimes join clubs or groups and so on, but they get a non-participating membership. In other words, all they're doing is paying their dues and they get some of the benefits from it, but they're not really involved in anything. Well, Christianity isn't intended to work that way, although there are a lot of people who think it is. Okay? All memberships in God's kingdom are participating memberships. We are all called to be workers. Okay? We are all called to be workers in his kingdom. And so he says, a workman unashamed. We need to be workmen, or in this day and age, workwomen. Okay? Alright? We don't want to get involved. We need to be workers. Alright? Now, look at what he said. What are we doing here? What is this idea of working? In Ephesians chapter 4, 11 and 12, Paul says this. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers. And look at this. Why were they given those jobs and those abilities and so forth? He says to prepare God's people. All right? So God's people are supposed to be prepared. And the next question should be, prepared for what? Well, look at what he says. Prepared for works of service. At the very least, in other words, all of us who are God's people need to be doing works of service. God has prepared us to do so. So there is no excuse for someone who belongs to God to be sitting around not doing works of service for the Lord. Because do. Everybody with me on that? You say? Again, this is a participatory membership in God's kingdom. Something for everybody to be doing. Now, can everybody be doing the same thing? The answer to that is no. We're not all called to do the same. That's part of what he's saying here. He gave some to be this, some to be that, some to be... Everybody has different jobs. Everybody has different work to do. But the point is, everybody has work to do. Works of service to perform. Okay? And the reason for that is so that the body is built up. Look at what he says here. Who's working right along with you? In 1 Corinthians 3:9, he says, God's working right along with us. We are, in fact, he says, his fellow workers. Okay? We are fellow workers right along with God in his kingdom. So, in other words, we need to understand, God didn't just go, okay, I put us all together, now I want you guys to take care of it. He's working right along with us, is he not? Everybody takes me going like this. He's working right along with us. His Spirit is here with us, in us, living in us, helping us to do what God has called upon us to do. And in that way, we are fellow workers with him. But again, the point here, the key to this is that we are to be working. He calls upon us to be workmen with him. But then what about this unashamed part? What does that really mean? Well, again, look it up in the dictionary, and here's what you find. Unashamed means being without guilt, self-consciousness, or doubt. Here's the interesting thing that I found. The dictionary, Merriam-Webster dictionary I was using, looking this up, has underneath the definition suggestions of how this word is used in a sentence. I thought this was kind of interesting. This is the sentence that it had as an example. She was unashamed to tell the truth. How fitting is that to our lesson today, you say? But really, that's what it's about, being unashamed to tell people the truth. When we are a worker who is unashamed, a worker for God, unashamed, then we are going to be willing to tell other people the truth of God's Word. Right? The Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 1 says, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. When we understand what the gospel really is and the power that is behind that truth that it contains, see, we'll be unashamed and willing to share that with as many people as we can so that they too can have what we have. Right? And then finally, the third thing we want to focus on here is that, again, that Greek translation uses this phrase, be a straight cutter. Okay? Well, if you think about that, you think about it in different construction applications and graphic design and things of that nature. Somebody that's cutting something out, you want to make sure that you're cutting straight, right? So you're using something, a straight edge or whatever, to help make sure that you're cutting whatever you're cutting straight so it doesn't get messed up. And that's really the idea behind what he's saying here. Now, again, the translations that we typically look at are rightly dividing the word of truth. But literally it says, be a straight cutter. So when you are sharing the word of truth and you're opening it up, you're studying it, you are dividing it, you're to do it straight. Now think about that. What does that mean? Be a straight cutter when it comes to the truth. Well, first of all, we've got to always be straight with the Word of God. Okay? Let that sink in for just a minute. What does it mean to be straight with the Word of God? I know a lot of people who aren't straight with the Word at all. In fact, when you talk to them, you ask them about the Word, and they're kind of doing this like this all over the place, trying to wiggle around. But they don't really want, some of them don't even know the real truth. And some people don't want to tell you the truth. Because they're afraid it's going to hurt your feelings, or you're going to get mad at them, you won't be their friend anymore, and all those kind of things. So some people don't go straight when it comes to God's Word. They're going to kind of wiggle a little bit here and there. We need to make sure that we are straight cutters with God's Word. That means don't hold back the truth. Now, the Bible tells us we are to speak the truth how? In love, right? But we need to speak the truth. Don't hold the truth back. You see? Because if you hold it back, then you may be jeopardizing someone's eternal soul. Because you don't want to hurt their feelings, or you don't want them to not be your friend anymore, or you don't want them to kick you out of the family, or whatever else the consequences might be. And those are sometimes the reasons why people aren't straight cutters when it comes to the truth. We want to kind of shade it just a little bit so that it makes it a little bit easier for them to swallow and accept. But the reality is that does not do them any good at all. And that's why Paul calls upon us to be straight cutters with the truth. Tell it like it is. Now, in John chapter 6, we read there where Jesus is teaching on what is referred to as a discourse on the bread of life. And he's telling those people that are gathered around, his disciples, not just the 12, but his group of followers, people that are following him at that point, he tells them some things that are very difficult for them to accept. In fact, at one point, John records for us that some of those disciples said to Jesus, "This is a hard saying. Who can accept it?" And I think it's verse 66 of John chapter 6 where it says, "From that point on, many of his disciples turned and followed him no more." Well, Jesus being the straight cutter that he was with the truth, what was his reaction? You've heard me talk about this before from the standpoint that sometimes we can learn a lot from what the Bible doesn't say as well as what it does say. And what it doesn't say is that Jesus went running after those disciples and said, "Well, wait a minute, don't leave. Let's talk about this." And tried to kind of soften it a little bit for them. He didn't do that. Instead, what the Bible tells us is that Jesus turned to the 12 and he said, "You want to leave too?" Now, you know, to me, that's about as being a straight cutter as you can be, isn't it? Here's the truth, and I'm not going to water it down one bit. Now, you either accept it or you reject it. He turns to his disciples and says, "You want to leave too?" Of course, Peter and the other disciples said, "Lord, to whom would we go? For only you have the words of eternal life." See, they knew. They knew what Jesus was saying was the truth. Okay? I mentioned to you this idea of watering it down. So we need to be really careful because a lot of times that's what's going on. People are watering down the truth, so it makes it a little bit easier to swallow for some people. Okay? Well, watered down gospel may get a lot of people into the pews, but it won't get anyone to the cross. I like that saying. Not original with me. I didn't come up with it. But fill up church pews all over the place. It's not going to get people to heaven. In fact, think about it this way. I ran across this thing right here, and I like this too. "Words that I do not want to hear on Judgment Day, why did you water down the gospel?" Okay? Think about that a moment. If we're a straight cutter with the truth, rightly dividing it, rightly handling it, as some translations say, we're not going to water it down, we're not going to hold it back. We're not going to be cruel with it, but we're going to tell it like it is. And allow people to make the choice as to whether they want to accept it or reject it. It is their choice. But we need to make sure that we do not water it down. I ran across this statement also. And I agree with this. You can read that or not. "If Jesus had preached the same message that ministers preach today, he would never have been crucified." You see, I'm convinced, and I've talked with a lot of different people about this, that the real problem that we have in Christianity today is that exactly what Paul wrote Timothy about, that there was a time when men would not put up with sound doctrine, but instead to suit their own desires, they would gather around them what? Teachers who would say what their itching ears want to hear. And that's what's happening in so many churches today. is ministers are not willing, you say, to be straight cutters with truth. They're telling people what they want to hear, because when they do that, it fills the church pews. And when the church pews are full, guess what else is full? Collection baskets. Yeah. It's exactly what's going on with a lot of churches. See? If we start telling people the truth about these things, then some of them will get upset and they won't come back anymore. And especially when it comes to those, you know, big givers. We certainly don't want to upset them. So we tell them what they want to hear instead of what they need to hear. And that way, the church pews stay filled, and so do the contribution baskets. We're not being straight cutters. God wants us all to be straight cutters with the truth. And you know me. Those of you who've been here, you know me. I'm a straight cutter. I'm not going to tell you anything that's not the truth. Okay? I'm not going to water down the word. See, I believe that whatever financial things we need or whatever, God's going to take care of that if we will rightly divide the word. If we will do what He tells us to do. He says, we don't need to worry about getting people upset so that they don't come back and don't contribute anymore. We need to make sure that we are telling the truth and that we are sharing it. And that starts right here. And I told you before, I am not perfect. Okay? I did make a mistake one time. No, I'm not perfect. So if there's something that I do mess up on, I want you to come tell me that. Point it out to me so that I can make sure that it's fixed. You see? Because I want to always be a straight cut. And that's the way it ought to be. That statement right there, that's a real, real telling statement. Okay? We need to be studying the Bible. Again, study to show thyself approved. The only way you are going to learn and know the truth is to study. Don't just read it. Okay? I'm all for reading through the Bible in a year and all those reading programs. That's great, and I want to encourage you to do so, but don't just read it, study it. Alright? Study your Bible. Be diligent in doing so. The Apostle Paul, Timothy, writes this. All Scripture. What does that include? How much of it is excluded from that? None. Okay? All of the Scripture that we have is literally God-breathed. In other words, it came from God Himself. And he says it is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the servant of God may be what? Thoroughly equipped for every good work. There's that word again, that four-letter word that we just don't like, is work. But that's why God gave us His truth to begin with, so that we would be thoroughly equipped to do His work. The only way we can do that is to study it. To be diligent about it. Okay? Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one, absolutely no one, this is all inclusive, isn't it? Okay? No one comes to the Father except through me. That is the truth. So here's a question for you. Think about it. What are you doing with the truth? How are you handling it? I want you to be thinking about that. Chuck has an invitation song that he's chosen. We're going to stand together and sing in just a moment. I want you to be thinking about, what are you doing with the truth? And what can you do more so that you can know that truth better and be better equipped to share that truth with other people? The Lord's invitation is extended. Perhaps someone's here this morning who's not yet a Christian. You have not given your life to Christ. The truth is that your sins are separating you from God. And they will continue to do so until you have the way to do that is to give your life to Christ and have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism.
You can do that right now, this morning. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and you're ready to make Him Lord of your life, and call upon Him as Lord, repent of the sin that's separating you from Him, and have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. And again, you can do that right now. You don't have to wait for anything. For those who are Christians already, maybe as you look at the way you've been handling the truth, have you maybe been holding it back from folks because you didn't want to hurt their feelings? You don't want to get somebody mad at you or something like that? Or maybe you've been watering it down some? You need to repent of that, because that's not how God wants you to handle His truth. He's given you not a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power. Okay? To handle His truth and to share His truth with others. Maybe you need some guidance or some help, some encouragement. Maybe better teaching. Whatever it is that we can all learn to be better straight cutters of God's Word. That's what we want to try to do. Maybe something else going on in your life that you need prayers for or encouragement or guidance. The Lord's invitation is open to you for that. Dale will be in the back to receive anyone if you'd like to have a private prayer or conversation with him, and I'll be right up front to receive you up here, whatever it is that we can help you with. While we're singing this song, I want you to think about that. The word of truth. Let's stand together and sing.